Only one song. Okay, Psalm 119. Anybody read the manifesto of the fellow that took his plane into the IRS building? Yeah, he didn't plan it real good, did he? What he said in the manifesto was true. It's just too bad he didn't have a Bible. Too bad he didn't have God helping him out, trying to overcome all that stuff. Okay, here's a report. Probably most everybody remembers July 8th, 1947, when witnesses claimed that a UFO with five aliens crashed onto a sheep and mule ranch just outside Roswell, New Mexico. Anybody remember the Roswell event? Well, this well-known incident that many say has long been covered up by the U.S. Air Force and other federal agencies. However, what you may not know is that the month of April 1948, 9 months after that historic day, the following people were born: Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, William Kerry, William Clinton. It's not true. Those guys weren't born. I checked some of the dates. Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. I checked the dates. So it says, see what happens when aliens breed with sheep and jackasses. Oh, well. That's how it goes. Okay, Psalm 119. The radio broadcast, strangely, wasn't on the internet on Monday. So, you can get on the website, remember, and write them and ask them about that. They'll give you their reason. And then maybe a suggestion or something. So I would encourage you to suggest to move it up an hour. So, I mean, they take those things. Okay, Psalm 119, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us now as we approach a holy book, that we'd focus our thoughts on your words. Help us not to be sidetracked by the events of the day, things that we've done, things that we plan to do tomorrow. I just pray you'd help us focus on your words and honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're down to the last two sections of Psalm 119. It's been a long journey through here. I've already, I think, touched on the first two verses already. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. That's probably what that guy felt like today. He ran a plane into that building. And no doubt, he was right, but there's more important things in life than that. Hopefully the guy was saved, but you never know. Okay, and he said, they've persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Okay, or a treasure. Okay, find some money or something like that. Or if you're like me, you hide some things and you forget where you hide them, and then you clean things up and you find where you hide them. Okay, and so that's how it goes. Okay, that's how we are to rejoice about the Word of God itself. Psalm 119, we are to rejoice about the Word of God like gold and silver. Okay, 163, I hate and abhor lying. Okay, but thy law do I love. Okay, hate. I hate that. Okay, I hate and abhor lying. That was one thing that was ingrained in me growing up. My dad hates lying. One time, it was about 2 weeks before harvest, and when Stuckey's was there, where now it's the adultery bookstore, the owner of Stuckey's called Dad up and said, I caught a kid driving in your field, and I got him here. So we went down there. I went with Dad. I was so probably, 20 at the time, 21, I think. And so we went down there, and here's this kid's car. Corn is 6, 7, 8 feet tall. It's all under the car. There's the path. He went out into the end rows and came back out. And Dad's talking to the kid, and the kid said, I didn't drive my car in your cornfield. And my dad walked away. And I know why he walked away. Because he is about ready to grab into that car and pull the kid out the window. And don't you ever lie to me! And so he just was trying to not end up in jail that night. So he walked away, and then I stepped in. And I said, hey, pal, don't you ever lie to my dad. And so yeah, I preached at him for a little while. And then I think the kid had to pay for it, something like that. So we've had those things going on. And I remember one time we had a tractor stuck in a field up in Leroy. Is a field up there. And my brother and I came back. It was in July, and the windows were out, side windows of the cab. Our first thought was it got hot, you know, and it blew the windows out. We found one bullet hole in the top of the cab. If they wouldn't have had that, we would have never found it. Walked over to the little road there, six shells, 22 rifle. Walked down the road, saw some kids playing. Did you see anybody walking down this road with a rifle? Yeah, I saw these kids. Shut up! We found out who did it. Okay, and two boys, and the cops told us, you do what you want with them, so Dad's always got his methods. And so the rule was that they had to pay for the damage themselves, not their parents, and then they had to work with us for 2 days picking up rocks. You know, and what we do on that is we take the loader and put it in half a mile an hour, and all of us walk around and throw rocks in the loader. And so one kid got an attorney. His parents paid for it, and he didn't have to do anything, and he's been in and out of jail ever since. The other kid's dad was an old German, and he said, you will do what this man says. And that kid worked the whole day with us picking up rocks, and his tail was dragging by the end of the day. And Dad just kind of smiled. He said, I think you learned your lesson. And so that kid, I think, has been a good little boy since then. Okay, but excuse me, I hate and abhor lying. There are seven things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. This marvelous God of love, this God of mercy, this God of grace, hates some things. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Okay, notice not just pride, but the look of pride. You say, what's that? You usually see that when you see pictures of male athletes in the paper. You know, like that. Yeah. His nose stuck up in the air. Yeah, that's a proud look. Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Has his feet up on the desk in the Oval Office. Oh, he's an arrogant cuss. Okay, and a proud look. Next one, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. There's your abortion doctors. You know, and a lot of other people like that. And heart that devises wicked imaginations. There's Hollywood and company. Feet that are swift to running to mischief. That's Hollywood, and that's the news media. And then the last two is the sin and the sinner. A false witness that speaketh lies. So he hits lying twice. Okay, and then he that soweth discord among the brethren. Okay, this idea of hating. Of course, lying has all sorts of variations, exaggerations. You know, just accenting upon something. Or lying is actually telling the truth when truth is misapplied. Lying is when an Acts 2.38 guy tells people you can get saved by Acts 2.38. Acts 2.38 is true. But he's taking something that's true and misapplying it. The temptations of Jesus were temptations that were something associated with the second coming, and he was taking something that was true for the second coming, Satan, and trying to tempt Jesus to bring that back into the first coming. Misapplying Bible doctrine. Okay, so it says, I hate and abhor lying. An example of This hatred is with Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, where it says he hates iniquity. And one's hatred for iniquity is equal to one's fullness of the Spirit. Okay, where he was anointed with the oil of gladness. Okay, and so that's where our hatred should be applied. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law, the other side, do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. I doubt any of us do that every day. Okay, but get in the habit of thanking God for his words and thanking God for his judgments in particular here. The judgments of God always seem to take forever. Okay, but when he brings forth judgment, it is sure. Okay, that's where we have the saying that, you know, the wheels of justice turn very slow. Okay, and of course, God is no different on that. Okay, so seven times a day do I praise thee. Because of thy righteous judgment, that's praising God for when he executes the death sentence. You see, because I, the Lord, love judgment. Why? Because innocent blood has been shed and it must be forgiven. Okay, next verse, great one to memorize. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay, this is a common thing in churches, you know, everybody gets offended. Americans are so thin-skinned. Everybody's, oh, that offends me. I like Waleed's comeback on that, what you said offends me. Up in Michigan, we heard him say it after he spoke there, and some dumb American Muslims said, what you have said offends me. And he came back, he says, you have a right to be offended, and I have a right not to care. Now, that's a good comeback on that. Okay, and the idea of being offended, when people get offended about things like in church, that is proof that they're not spending time in the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law. They have peace. Which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay, and so this is when somebody on a street corner or a family member can say something mean to you, can say something bad to you, call you an idiot, you're worthless, blah, 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 blah. And it doesn't mean a thing. It should just roll off us like water off a duck's back. Now, the more you're told these things, you know, if it's coming from family or things like that, the tendency is that a person will begin to believe those. This is what Bill Snevlin calls bitter root judgments. When somebody makes a statement, remember that when we make statements, when words come out of our mouth, one of three spirits comes out of our mouth with the words, and those three spirits will try to enforce the words. Job 23 says that when words come out of that, what spirit cometh from thee? Okay, it can be an unclean spirit, it can be a clean spirit, or it can be your spirit, man's spirit and self. Okay, and so when those words come out, like parents' words to their children, you know, where they say something to their kids, then that spirit will go with those words, unclean or clean, okay, and then it will reinforce those words. Proverbs 21, I think it's 16:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay, and so what executes that death and or that life, what gives the life is obviously the Spirit of God, breathes into it the breath of life, and what gives the death, excuse me, is, got to get some of my Baptist brew. Okay, it's the Spirit of God. Okay, what executes the death is the unclean spirits. So, if a person has a bunch of, maybe you got a rough guy in a job, a boss or something, he cusses you and he throws a bunch of stuff at you, you're an idiot, and blah, blah, blah. When you spend time in the Word of God, that just rolls off. Like water off a duck's back. Or, at that time, if it did
bother you at that time, just say, Lord, I, by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse me from that bitter root spirit. Okay, and then that helps a person to get rid of that curse. Okay, that curse is spread out. Okay, if we just recognize the words that we say, I mean, it's amazing that a person can be very discouraged, very upset about some things, but the right words said to them at the right time can really uplift their spirit. Okay, and of course, the opposite is true also. Okay, and so that's where great peace have they which love thy law. Loving thy law, spending time in thy law, it gives a person peace within their spirit. Now, a lot of people feel that when they're, you know, have anxieties and worrisome and everything, that they get peace more from Psalms than anywhere, which is probably true. But according to Paul's writings, Romans 15, verse 4, when you read the verses, the things that are written aforetime, we get comfort from them. Okay, and so you find a lot of comfort from passages in the Old Testament. Let's try Isaiah 26, verse 1. Peace, inner peace, you know, this is, of course, what some of the Eastern religions do, is they try to have you sit down cross-legged, you know, and you know, meditate and have a peace, you know, and all this stuff. Well, that is a way of trying to relax or slow down and things like that. But true peace, true inner peace, only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:27, "The peace that I give you is not as the world giveth." So there's a counterfeit peace. Isaiah 26, verse 1, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." You can see in that day, second coming, strong city, Petra. "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in," Jesus Christ. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Okay, so that's the peace we need to get from the Lord. So when, you know, you hear bad news, things go on, okay, yeah, you're going to react to those things. But try to, you know, get to your prayer closet, get alone with God, spend some time in the Word, and let the Lord minister to your spirit. Peace is a byproduct. Joy and peace are both byproducts. They occur for the believer as a result of doing the right thing or having the right mindset. Okay, so peace and joy are like that. If our love is in the right place, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." A lot of the folks in America, you know, where it amazes me often, when you have a purported conservative in office, someone who appears to be conservative or claims to be conservative, but yet they're only rhinos. Rhino is a phrase, Republicans in name only. Okay, the Republicans or the conservatives, they just put their head in the sand, let them do everything. Like Bush 1, Bush 2. But yet, when you get somebody like a Clinton or Obama, they finally open up their eyes. You know, Obama's done more damage to the Democratic Party, you know, than Bush could have ever dreamed. Just by being his ignorant self. Okay, people are, eyes are wide open. They're upset about things. Okay, this guy that took this plane and crashed us in, he's obviously upset, distressed. Okay, but when they're focusing on politics and everyday life without spending time with the Lord, then they get all bent out of shape. Can't sleep at night. God's in control. Okay, a lot of the patriots where they'll mention Bible verses, but they just mention a verse here or a verse there, and a lot of their doctrine is really goofy. You know, if they're Calvinists, what are they upset about? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, a Calvinist is post-millennial. They're going to usher in the kingdom anyway. So why are they even trying? It's just very illogical. A lot of times, practicality overrules somebody's theology. Okay, and so our peace comes from the Lord. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. We are not under the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Yes, study and know these things, okay? And you need to, you know, be knowledgeable about certain things, but just recognize that it's the Lord who's in control. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay, a sign of the end times, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 10. Okay, remember the question that's asked in Matthew 24 is, you know, when shall these things be? When is the sign of thy coming? And things like that. So we know it's dealing with end times. Verse 21 mentions great tribulation. What's the sign of the end times? Verse 10, and then shall many be offended. People being hypersensitive. Now, the greatest hypersensitive, most thin-skinned people in America will be your political figures, your Hollywood figures, highly educated people, your college professors, and, you know, Dr. Dry as Dust and Pastor Malfungus. Okay, that will be your most hypersensitive, thin-skinned preachers cannot take preaching. They have a hard time with it. They're used to preaching at people and telling them what to do, but they don't want to take it. Okay, and, bureaucrats, they don't like to be told what to do. My dad taught me a long time ago that when you're dealing with a bureaucrat, you got to remember they think they know everything, so you got to try to make them think they're the smart one. So you ask them questions, and then they're going to give the solution. You know? Well, you ask them questions where they know they can't give the solution and get them all flummoxed. Okay, but they're very highly thin-skinned people. Can't take it when you talk to them straight and plain. Okay, judges. Very sensitive. Okay, and this is a sign of the end times. These people are just easily offended. John chapter 6, here's another place. The Lord said, I think it's Matthew 11, 6, I think it is, blessed are ye whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, in John 6, the Lord gives some pretty strange ideas here. Implies that a person has to eat his flesh and drink his blood to get eternal life. And boy, it split them up. Seems like whenever the Lord got a big crowd, he'd usually give some doctrine that would send the crowd away, scare them, get rid of them. And verse 60 and John 6, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who could hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Are you offended? There's a lot of things in the Bible that's offensive. And the more a person spends time in the Bible, the more it's going to offend the person. Most people just want portions of the Bible that makes their life more comfortable. Okay, the average American Christian, that's where they're at. Just give me the basics, the milk of the Word. Several years ago, when I first took over to church, I was going to be real slow to start teaching things. Well, about 3 years into it, you know, we didn't have a split, but, you know, a little splinter here or there. And I didn't get one person tell me that I was off doctrinally. Not one. And one gentleman actually said to me, he said, you know, I've been saved for many years, but I just like the milk of the Word. Now, what is a teenager trying to survive on the milk of the Word? You know, can you imagine a teenager at the table? You put a glass of milk there, that's what you get. He's going to shrivel up and die. You know, the thought came through my mind at the time, is, you know, but I didn't say it. I was liking to say it, thinking about saying it. So, what do you call somebody that their body grows older, but their mind stays kind of at the same level? You know, spiritually retarded. Oh, we can't say the R word anymore. I remember hearing that a couple weeks ago. Aram Emanuel said the R word.
You know, and so he had to apologize for saying that. Oh, what a bunch of thin-skinned sissies. Okay, and so doth this offend you? The Bible is an offensive book. Matthew 13, verse 21. Yes, sir? I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that amazes me, you know. You probably had this, you know, wrestling down a black guy and he's calling you every name in a book. You MF this and that and blah, 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 blah. But if you would happen to say, you... I said Tigger. I said Tigger. I didn't say anything else. I'm going to pull my trigger. No. That's just, what was that I was trying to say? Oh, yeah, they'd have your job for that. That F word, boy, they just get away with that all the time. Matthew 13:21. Yet hath he no root in himself, yet dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Okay, so when we go through the Bible and start studying things, we find things that offend us, how should our reaction be? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so what our reaction should be is, okay, Lord, I can't figure it out. That bothers me, but give me some light. And I'll know you're right, and I'm wrong. Okay, and so that's how we should approach it. Okay, so we get peace as a byproduct of spending time in the Word of God. Much time. Love is demonstrated by time. When a person loves something or someone, it doesn't matter how much time we put into it. Okay, we have the men's basketball league on Saturday nights. I've seen these guys, you know, try to get there in the worst of weather. But Sunday morning, it's just too dangerous to get out there. Okay, and why? They love something, a little round ball, more than they do a Bible. Now, some of the churches they're going to, I don't blame them anyway. I wouldn't take the time to go there. Okay, but... that's how it goes. Okay, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. So that's spending much time in the Word of God. Not just our devotions per se, but it's time. Verse 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Now, when you read something like that, it sounds like he's trying to work his way to get to salvation. I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Well, under the Old Testament covenant, that would be okay, doctrinally. But in the New Testament, individual salvation is something that is sure, absolute, in the shed blood of Christ, and then we obey His commandments in order to walk in fellowship with the Lord. 167, My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Okay, easy to understand that one. Okay, going up with verse 165 and 163, both mentioning our love for the Word of God. Okay, now you know, if you ask the average Christian or the average pastor, do you love the Word of God? They're going to say they do. They're not going to say they're not. But from their lives and from their behavior towards it, they're not telling you the truth. Okay, and it takes a lot of time to spend time in the Word of God. The way a man demonstrates his love for the Word of God is spending a lot of time in it. 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. Okay, here's one of those verses that has the Word of God twice mentioned, precepts and testimonies. For all my ways are before thee. All my ways, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. For all my ways are before thee. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. All my ways are before thee. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Okay, 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Okay, that's the verbal cry, verbal prayer. And then, of course, he's praying for understanding according to thy word. The receiving of understanding of the Word of God is what the word inspiration means. If we go with the definition, Job 32, verse 8, the inspirations of the Scriptures are not the, quote, giving of the Scriptures or the writing of the Scriptures, but it is the receiving of understanding of the Scriptures. Job 32, 8. Okay, and that's where the understanding comes in. Of course, we pray for that. We pray to the author of the Scriptures to give us understanding. 1:7, let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. He's asking for deliverance. Okay, deliverance from doctrine. You can go with tribulation. You can ask for deliverance from unclean spirits. Now, of course, you know, the charismatics and some of the goofy Pentecostals have made this deliverance stuff a big joke. Okay, but the Bible form of deliverance is you praying by the authority of Jesus Christ to get unclean spirits out and or off your property. You know, certain prayers you pray, clean up your house, clean up your life. That's a power based upon the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I know it's so easy to forget these things. But we have parasites everywhere. We have spiritual parasites everywhere you go. You walk through the store, you've got people who've got parasites on them, spiritual parasites. You've got people you work with. The music that's played on the radio, it comes out of there. You got to think of it. If you go into a woods, what are you going to get hit with? During the summertime, you go walk into a woods, what do you got? You got skeeters everywhere. You got ticks. You got bugs. You got parasites. And you got to always be on your guard with those things. Okay, you can get ticks on your children. They go after them. They like that young blood. You look at nature, it's the young that die quicker, tender. Innocent, not alert to things. And so, and when you're around people, okay, or a person fornicates around with somebody or a bunch, all those spirits are all interwoven. Okay, and we have the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And so it's something we have to be alert to. Have the armor of God on, so that they might be warded off. Okay, 171, 172. These are a two-step process. How we should behave or react, probably that's a better word, how we should react when we get the understanding of the word of verse 169. Our first reaction is, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. First thing is to thank God. Thank God for opening my eyes. He doesn't have to open up our eyes. He doesn't have to show it to us. I thank God so much that He opened my eyes to the purity of the King James Bible. I mean, I went to Grace College for 2 years, contemporary music, Christian rock, you know, all the new versions. I mean, and I saw the hypocrisy and the worldliness and the carnality of these people. I mean, you go to in a Christian basketball game and you can't even hear yourself think because the music is blaring in there. Oh, it's Christian rock. Okay? And I mean, it's just loaded with that stuff. And thank God He showed me the hypocrisy of that and then later on showed me about the perfection of the Word of God. Boy, I could have been so easily caught up into that stuff. You know, my wife, well, not at that time, she was, you know, some fella liked her, and, you know, then I came along, but this fella liked her. He was big time in a Christian rock band. He made the big time. I mean, what'd she get stuck with? Some little peon pather. She could have been in the big time going around, you know, and traveling the country. She gave that stuff up before, and she told that guy, she gave that stuff up, asked God for forgive her of her sin of that, and it told him how wrong it was and everything. But, I mean, could it easy get caught up in that stuff? So easy to get caught in that stuff and think you're doing the right thing. So, thank God He opens up your eyes to the Word of God. Thank God that the Bible becomes clear to you. Thank God that you can see what God wants you to believe. Okay, so that's our reaction we have toward the Lord. An example of that is Daniel chapter 2. When Nebuchadnezzar had that dream in Daniel 2, and he's getting ready to execute the wise men because they couldn't explain the dream, Daniel said, give me some time and we'll see if God gives us an answer. God gave them the answer, and the first thing they did was thank God. They thanked God for it. The second thing that we can do is, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Okay, again, here's another verse. Okay, where it has word and commandment. So this is another verse that has it in there twice. And so what we do when we learn the Word of God is we tell people about it. I can see what it says for myself. And you tell people what you learned. My tongue shall speak of thy word. Notice, not Baptist doctrine, not religion. You show them what the word says. Open it up and show it to them. My tongue shall speak of thy word, and all thy commandments are righteousness. Verse 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have chosen his free will. Can't be a Calvinist in order to do that. For I have chosen thy precepts. Okay, in the Old Testament, let thine hand help me, it's a common phrase, the hand of the Lord. Okay, where in the New Testament, we are the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ. 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Okay, is that personal salvation? Is that national salvation? You could probably run either way. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Okay, this is let thy judgments help me. In other words, give me discernment and discretion. So I can read your words and then judge things properly. Let thy judgments help me is not him being judged. Okay, it's asking God to help him to recognize discernment, discretion, discrimination, so he can say no when he needs to say no. He can say yes when he needs to say yes. And then the last verse. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Okay, the cross-reference Isaiah, I'm sure, 53. Oh, let's see. I've got Ezekiel, but he probably could do that. Like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Okay, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, asking the Lord to seek us when we're lost. For I do not forget thy commandments. Now, sheep is obviously the animal of the Lord, one of the animals the Lord uses to portray believers, and that's not a compliment, and a lot of them do behave as sheep. Okay, and then you have other animals to give other analogies in the Bible. Okay, so this idea here is asking the Lord to help us when we're lost, when we're confused, when we've gone astray. And he's asking the Lord to seek him, and then we haven't forget your word. We haven't forgotten your commandments. Okay, we'll stop there. Got that all done? Any questions or comments? Sheep could be the nation of Israel.